We present Tony Hancock, Bill Kerr, Sidney James, Andre Melle, and Kenneth Williams in
Hancock's Office.
During the last 3 months, while Tony Hancock has been off the air, he has deliberately avoided the other members of his cast. This may be because he feels they see too much of each other as it is. Or then again, because during this time, 3 of the cast have had birthdays. However, this week, he decided it was safe to return, until he found out his calculations had gone slightly astray. But why didn't somebody tell me it was Andre's birthday tomorrow? I wouldn't have bothered to come back till next week.
Well, it's too late now. What are we going to buy her?
I don't know. I just can't make up my mind.
Well, she hasn't got a gold wristwatch.
No, she hasn't, has she?
And she hasn't got a diamond necklace.
That's true, yes.
And she hasn't got a mink coat.
No. She hasn't got her own firm set either, has she?
Tub, we can't buy a home firm set for her birthday.
And why not?
9 and 6 between 2 of us.
Yes, I know, but it only comes once a year. Let's lash out. We can cut down on her food.
9 and 6 is not enough. Not for 2 people.
All right, then. You buy the perm set. I'll give her a comb. I think I've got one upstairs. It's hardly been used. There's only 3 teeth missing, and they're the wide end, so it doesn't...
Look, Andre's your girlfriend, right? Now, you've got to give her something better than that. She didn't say anything last year, but I could see that she was hurt.
She had no reason to be. I got her just what she asked for. A brand new bag.
Yeah. And that touching inscription written on it. Charles Brown and Son, High Class Fruiter, a Ballam Tooting and Mitchell.
I'll have you know that was a jolly good bag. It had little wooden handles and cardboard rings round where the string went through to stop it tearing. And it had pleats at the bottom, so it'd fold up easily.
Tub, a girl expects a little more than that for her 21st birthday.
All I got on mine was a clout round the ear for coming in late.
There's only one way out of this. We go round and ask her what she wants, then take her out and buy it.
Of course. Come along. Hurry up before the shop's closed. Where's my sock?
I'm wearing them.
All right, then. Pass this pad over. Now, before we go any further, Andre, are you sure, you're quite sure that this is what you really want?
Yes, quite sure.
Very well, be it on your own head. I'd just like to pose one question. Where do you think you're going to keep a crocodile? How can you walk into a pub with a crocodile on a leash? Enough to put a man off his beer for the rest of his life. I'm sorry, Andre, I don't fancy the crocodile.
All right, then. I won't have a crocodile.
I shouldn't think so, either. Right, that's settled. Now, what are you going to have?
An ostrich.
More like that. You are not having an ostrich.
But, Tony...
They are too big.
But think of the eggs.
What good are they? You'd have to boil them in the copper for 3 hours and eat them with a shovel. If you must have a pet, why can't you have a nice, ordinary, everyday type of animal? How about a nice dog?
Yeah, we'll buy a greyhound.
We will not buy a greyhound.
You can make a lot of money out of greyhounds.
You stand there in what's left of your demob suit and say you can make a lot of money out of greyhounds.
A horse! That's it, a horse!
All right. Don't worry. He's finished now. Greyhounds and horses. He's mentioned both of them. That is his lot. His knowledge of the animal kingdom is now exhausted.
I think you're both being very unreasonable about this. It's my birthday, and I think I ought to be left to decide what I want.
Yes, but Andre, be sensible. I mean...
Oh, here's the pet shop. I'll make a final decision after we've had a look around. Look. Oh, Tony, look, in the window. All those beautiful little mice. Aren't they sweet?
We got mice at home.
Not white ones.
We've got them all colors. White ones, red ones, blue ones, pink ones, tartan ones. Half Billy, see them?
Well, come on. Let's go in and see what they've got inside.
Oh, look, how wonderful.
Oh, I don't know what to have. There's so much to choose from.
Hey, there's some nice racing pictures here.
Come away from there. Gambling, that's all you think about. I'm fighting to keep chickens in case you put spurs on them. Go on, Andre. You have a look around. See what you want. Take your time.
I've decided I want that one. That lovely little animal over there. The baby gorilla. Oh, he looks so friendly and harmless. I wonder what his name is.
My friends call me Sydney.
Ah, Mr. James. Charmed. I do apologize for the young lady here mistaking you for a gorilla. I can only put it down to the half-light. And a suggestion with a visit to the barber's that would be one of the tanner well spent.
Thank you.
Your humble self.
Now then, what can I tell you?
We wish to purchase an animal. May we have a look round?
Certainly.
Look, some lovely cats here.
Oh, yes. Hello. How do you do? That's Mrs. Higgins. The tabby with half a tail, he's the one who scratches around me rhubarb. You can tell by the way he's spitting at me boot. Sydney, I thought you decided to go on it.
Well, I had to get stocked up first.
I'm sorry. We are not buying any stolen animals.
They're not stolen. I rescued them. All them little dogs there. Poor little perishers. Do you know where I found them? Chained up to little wooden boxes in people's back gardens. I tell you, a pitiful sight. And me being an animal lover, naturally, I set them free.
Naturally.
Believe me, they were so grateful, they couldn't wait to get into me sack, so I had to bring them out.
How touching.
Yeah, ain't it? Mm. Well, I suppose that I'm just a sentimental old fool.
Yeah. Where did you get the other animals from?
All round and about. Now, take them canaries, for instance.
They look like sparrows to me.
Have they been licking that paint off again? Well, right now, then, let's see what we got for you. Oh, yes, there. I've been saving this just for you. A grey parrot. A bargain at five, Nicker. Very rare.
Very rare. There's thousands of them walking around Trafalgar Square. Just that they haven't got the fourth nose.
You know, I can see you're a bit of a naturalist.
I beg your pardon. You'll never catch me taking my clothes off in public.
No. But you're well up at the old bird stuff, son.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, it's no use trying to kid an expert. Now, here's an interesting item. Peter Scott sold it to me. The egg of the very rare lesser spotted lapwing. Comes from Denmark.
Oh, yes, I can see it stamped on the side.
Oh, well, all right. Give us a tanner for it. At least it's fresh. Here, look. Here's a lovely bird for you. Genuine, guaranteed homing pigeon.
You sure he's a homing pigeon?
Certainly.
He looks a bit tired.
Well, he ought to be. I've sold him 87 times this week.
I don't think we'll bother about the birds. In fact, I think we'll...
Look here. Look. Yes? I've got some smacking fish.
No, I don't think so.
Just a minute. Let me decide. It's my birthday.
You're wasting your time, Andre. They're all fakes. Look at that bowl there. 6 goldfish, 30 bob.
Well, what about it?
There's 3 in there with a mirror at the bottom.
All right, Liz, what have you decided on?
I'd like a nice little puppy.
And a very wise choice, too. I've got pedigree puppies here of every mixture under the sun.
May we see these puppies, please, Mr. James?
Certainly. You just step into my dog department. Oh, no, puppies. Let's see now. Here we are. Here, what about this lot here? All under 6 weeks old. Take your pick.
Oh, aren't they sweet? Look, Tony, aren't they lovely? That one over there sitting by himself. Oh, he's beautiful. I think I'll have him, Mr. James.
Oh, it's a lovely animal.
What do you think, Tony?
All right, I suppose.
Oh, see, he's lonely sitting there, poor little thing. He needs a home. Please buy him for me, Tony. Oh, look, he's so lonely.
Oh, all right. Sid, how much?
25 nicker.
Blimey, no wonder he's lonely.
25? That mournful-looking handful of hair?
He's a pedigree dog.
Pedigree, my foot. He is the last in a long line of easy-to-please mongrels.
Look here, Hancock. I tell you, that dog has got a very noble parentage. By Count Ferdinand Württemberg, the third of Saxe Coburg, out of Princess Antonia Katharina von Dusseldorf of Schleswig-Holstein.
What's its name?
Harry. There you are. See?
Harry.
Harry. He's a mixture. Not the type of dog I'd like in my house.
Oh, don't be so narrow-minded. You can't condemn a dog because of its parent.
Of course not. Look how I turned out.
Exactly. Pedigree pup. Four-legged teddy boy if ever I saw.
Well, I want him for my birthday, so that's that.
Very well. You've got to look after him. But I'm not paying that money for it. £25. I'm sorry, I can't possibly sell it for less than £25. All right. All right. We haggle. All right. We'll haggle it. Right. I'll tell you what. I'll give you £5 for it. £22.10.
7 guineas.
£18.
10 guineas.
£12.
£14.10.
10 guineas.
£18.
7 guineas.
£22.10.
£5.
£25.
Oh,
wait a minute. I haven't finished.
I know what I'm doing. I'm doing the haggling. £30. That's my last offer. You drive a hard bargain, Hancock. Yes. Think yourself lucky he wasn't an elephant. Here's your pup. Thank you. Wrap it up. We're taking it with us.
A good day.
Well, that's his kennel finished.
And very nice, too. Lovely and cozy.
Yes, I think we've made a very good job of it.
So do I. A very good piece of carpentry.
Very well thought out and planned.
Definitely.
Nice strong roof, lovely big solid walls, and a little swing door 6 inches high.
Yeah. How do we get out?
Lift it up, of course.
Ready?
Yeah. It's all worked out. I'm not stupid, you know.
Have you finished the kennel yet, boys?
Yes, already, Andre. The puppy can move in as soon as he likes. I think he'll find it very comfortable. There's a little bell he can ring when he wants anything. And
you're not sorry you bought him, are you, Tony?
Sorry? Oh, of course not. He's quite a merry little fellow. I rather like him now. Why?
He's just eaten your slippers.
Oh, no! Not me slippers. Not me Hong Kong creepers. Good, what is it?
Liver and bacon.
Ah, same as we've got.
Oh, no.
Well, what have we got?
Tin meat and biscuits.
Charming, charming. I'm not eating tin meat. Well, not that stuff with the dog's head on the side, anyway. How dare you give my liver and bacon to the dog?
Oh, he's a growing puppy and he needs to keep his strength up.
Well, he's not having me rhubarb and custard. I'll tell you that for nothing. Very partial to rhubarb and custard, and what's more, I... Oh, get out of it. What's the matter with you? Let it go,
Miss
Turner. Get out. Hello? What's that on his nose?
Custard.
He's had me custard. What's the good of rhubarb without custard? Mark my words, Andre, you're going to spoil this dog. And I'm having no party. I'm going up to my room. And if you want to keep the peace in this house, you put that animal in his kennel and keep it there. I've spent 2 days building that, and it's the last thing I'm doing for him. Isn't it marvelous? We've only had him a fortnight. We've got to build him a bigger kennel.
Well, you expected the thing to grow, didn't you?
Yes, but not so fast. Oh, dear, I've never seen an animal grow so quickly. He's 3 foot long already.
I'm not surprised the food is yet.
Morning, boys.
There goes his dinner on the tray. Tomato soup, roast beef, Yorkshire pudding and 2 veg. Bakewell tart and custard and camembert and biscuits. It's not right, you know.
Yeah, well, let's hurry up and finish the kennel. We've got some scraps on the boil.
Yum, yum.
Hello, hello.
He's sending the coffee back.
I thought so.
Not enough cream in it. Oh, he's a big head, that dog.
Well, anyway, this kennel should be big enough for him.
What? This should last him for the rest of his life. He can't grow much more.
No, he's probably one of those dogs that shoots up in the first few weeks and doesn't grow any bigger.
Yes.
One of those dogs that shoots up in the first few weeks and then doesn't grow any bigger. Look at him. 6 feet long and paws like blowbarty too.
Well, at least he's not eating so much. He's only picking at his dinner.
I'm not surprised. He had half a cow for his breakfast.
He's costing me a small fortune, that animal. What with his food and 50 quid worth of timber for the kennel. Look, he won't grow out of this one. There's enough room in there for a family of dogs. Don't worry, Tubby. He's reached his limit. It's a physical impossibility for a dog to get any bigger. Well, maybe not exactly. Oh, it's no good, Tub. We've run out of wood.
There's only one thing for it. Move the car out of the garage.
Where are we going to put it?
In the kennel.
Do you think he's really finally stopped growing?
Well, I don't know about that, but at least he's slowed down. He's only gained a stone and a half this week. Andre taking his breakfast over. Oh, Bill.
Yeah?
When he's finished eating, get him saddled up. I'm going riding. I don't care what you say, Andre. Nothing will make me change my mind. Dog or no dog, we are not moving out into the garage.
It'll only be until you can afford to buy a bigger house.
That dog will have to go. Let's admit we've made a mistake. The dog is a freak. He's already 2 inches taller than me, and he's still only 8 weeks old.
Well, Bess assured me he won't grow anymore. He says he's an adult dog now. This is as big as he'll get.
I'm sorry, Andre. We'll have to get rid of him.
Oh, we can't, Tony. He's such a lovable little puppy. It'll break his heart if he had to go. He's terribly fond of you.
I know. That's the trouble. He comes charging over. Picks me up by my overcoat, Father. Gets me up against the wall with his paws on my chest. I'm in bed for a week. I'm just about fed up with him.
Look out, Tom. Here he comes. Take him off me. Get off this person. Get off. Oh, such a come off his face.
Don't get angry, Tony. That's only his way of showing affection.
Affection? It's like half a yard of memory cloth.
Cannonball down the garden, let him chase. Oh. Blimey. Oh, he's like a ton weight. Hit me in the back, somebody, but just sunk. This can't go on, Andre. That dog's a menace. I'm not standing any more of it.
You must choose between us. Either that dog goes, or I go. Understand? You must decide between him and me. We'll
soon see
who's
boss
around here.
Shirt.
Shirt.
Stop. Where's my toothbrush?
Bill had it.
Fill me toothbrush.
Hang on a minute.
Hurry up. When I'm gone, you'll have to find someone else to clean his suede shoes with.
Oh, look, Tom, don't you think you're carrying this thing a bit too far? Leaving home just because of a dog?
Home? What home? I ask you, what home? Look at it. Bat. Every stick of furniture broken. The springs of the settee rested on the floor. And he only put his paw on it. Last night, he wanted to get in.
So he scratched a hole in the wall. And he was so pleased about it, he wagged his tail, and what happened? His stuffed eagle goes flying off the side.
Well, you could have kept him outside in the garden.
Garden? Oh, yes. You mean that big hole outside the back door?
Scratching?
This hole stretches for 16 gardens either side of us. It's like open cast coal mining. I've had nothing but abuse and complaints from the neighbors, and you can't blame them. People are terrified of him. They've had the civil defense out 3 times. You know, I've had 33 people coming down here complaining already this week. Hello, there's another one.
Good evening.
Blimey, who are you?
I'm your next door neighbour.
Chirp.
Chirp.
Stop.
Stop.
Oh, no, come on, stop messing about.
I've come to make a complaint about your dog. He's been burying things in my garden.
Burying things in your garden?
Yes.
What?
Me.
You mean you've been buried in your garden for over a week?
Yes. If I hadn't been buried under me potato patch, I would have starved.
If only I'd known. Handful of Colorado beetles would have made all the difference.
Don't be like that. And listen, the point is, what are we going to do about it?
That
I'm on damages.
Hang on, I'll go and get me medic.
No. You're not getting the gist of this at all, are you?
No.
For what you did to me, I'm going to sue you. And I'll probably get thousands.
Yes, that'll be good. I'll bury him myself next time. There's no need to sue me. I'm sure we can settle it out of court. I'll pay you for any inconvenience you may have suffered.
Oh, right then. Well, let's see now. There's damage to the furniture.
What damage?
Well, after I've been missing for 3 days, my wife thought I'd run away and threw a party to celebrate.
All right. Damage to furniture. £20?
Yes, that'll do. Then I had a week off work.
That's £2.10.
Yes. Of course, they don't think I'm worth much, you know.
No.
They've been trying to get rid of me for years.
Well, what makes you think that?
Little thing.
Yeah?
Like everybody getting to work 5 minutes before me and locking all the doors.
You're sensitive.
Yes, well, you know I am.
Yes, I know.
Then they tried a very subtle way of getting rid of me.
Oh, yeah? What was that?
They stopped paying me. I fooled them, though.
Yeah?
I didn't do half as much work.
Ooh, you cunning devil.
So, altogether, the damage has come to, let's see, £20 furniture plus £2. £22.10.
Oh, well, here's a check. Thank you very much.
Johnny, come quickly.
What's the matter?
It's Harold.
He's run away. Go on. Tell me he's run away, please.
No, he's ill.
Ill? I expected something he's eaten. I told you to take the horns off those cows.
Oh, no, it can't be that. He hasn't eaten all day. He just lies there out in the garage whimpering. Please come have a look at him, Tony. I'm sure it's something serious.
He doesn't look too good at all, does he?
No, there's something wrong with him, all right.
Can I be of any assistance? No, I know quite a bit about dogs. They're always biting me.
That's what's wrong with him.
You think you could help me?
Yes, I think so. I know quite a lot about sickness. I'm in St. John's Ambulance, you know. I go every night.
Really?
Yes, oh yes. They're trying to get rid of me, though.
Yes, all right.
You know what?
What?
They bandaged me up from head to foot and run away.
Yes. Good luck. What about the dog?
Oh, yes. Let's have a look at him. Oh, yes. Mmm. Oh, yes. Oh, well. Oh. Ah. Yes.
What?
He's big, isn't he?
That's it, is it?
That's
the diagnosis. Yeah,
well done.
Don't rush me. Don't rush me. Yes. Yes. Well. Yes? It's Dog Deal. Not for the stretch. Oh, poor Harold. He wants him the same without him. Oh, don't upset yourself. He's in good hands. I'll have him up on his feet and bury me again in no time. Now, if you'll all kindly leave the room, I'd like to be alone with my patient.
Goodbye, old chap. You'll be all right.
Goodbye, old chap. Get well.
What's happening in there? It's 2 hours now. Why doesn't he tell us something?
Steady, Bill. Don't crack.
We must be brave.
Harold would have wished it that way.
He wasn't such a bad old dog. So he was big. That wasn't his fault. Sure, he was mischievous, but he was still young. I know when we sent him out for the newspaper, he brought back the news agent, but he was just being playful. When I think of the things we've said about him,
I know. I've said some pretty rotten things about him myself. Treated him very shabbily in the past. I pinched his food just to keep my own miserable body alive.
I've taken the blankets off him at night so that I could keep warm. I even thought about pushing him out of his bed. You didn't.
Not very pretty to listen to, is it?
Now he'll probably never know that all the time I was really fond of him.
He goes, I'll never forgive myself.
It's my fault he's ill.
He's fretting because he thinks I don't like him.
I was only joking when I took him to the outer Everdees and caught a fast plane back. And now, he's lying there desperately ill.
Excuse me. Can I have a word with you? Something's happened.
Sir Harold, how is he?
Well, I'm afraid there's been a slight mistake.
Why, it's all right, isn't he?
She is.
She is?
Yes, and so are 15 puppies, all healthy.
Listen. Oh, well, stop, church,
this is the first of the new winter series of Hancock Half Hour, starring Jenny Hancock with Bill Kerr, Sissy James, Andre Melly, and Kenneth Williams. Incidental music was composed and orchestrated by Wally Stott and played by the BBC Augmented Review Orchestra, conducted by Harry Rabinowitz. The show, which was recorded, was written by Ray Galton and Alan Simpson and produced by Dennis Mayne Wilson.